Welcome to Beer, Beats, and Business, the business podcast for smart people who appreciate the insights found in a good conversation. That guy sitting at the end of the proverbial bar is your host, David J.P. Fisher, but everyone around here just calls him D. Fish. He's an author, speaker, and business coach. Basically, he's a professional talker. So grab a glass of your favorite beverage, grab a seat, and join us for today's episode. Let's see where the conversation takes us.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to another interesting conversation with an interesting person. And welcome back to season 7. We made it. And I hope you're ready for another season full of fantastic conversations. I know who is lined up on this show, and it's I'm fired up. It's gonna be pretty awesome. But today, the part of interesting person is being played by a very dear friend of mine. So excited to have her on, Heather Bennett. Heather, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Dee. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you over video and to hear you. Everybody, this is Heather Bennett. She is a marketing strategist and a personal brand coach who helps people build strong, authentic, and unique brands. And she is the author of the best-selling Fun and Fulfilling Careers, One Question at a Time, with a foreword written by yours truly. So, of course, I'm going to tell you, you got to go out and get that book after this conversation. But super excited to talk to Heather. And Heather, I know you're drinking a beer as we go here. What are you drinking today?
I am. I am drinking a Two Brothers, which is an Illinois brewery, Wizard Staff, which is an IPA that is actually a lot of fun. And I've had a sip and it's quite good.
Nice. I mean, it's not a requirement that B3 guests drink with me, but I always like when they do. Today, I am drinking from one of our sponsors this season, 1090 up in Glenview, Illinois, a really cool brewery. They got a really cool space up there. Had a chance to see it from the outside in as I sat and drank a beer in their parking lot when it was a little warmer. But I am drinking their Jackman Bear Brown Ale. It is fantastic. So thank you and cheers to 1090 for supporting us. And cheers, Heather. Clink, clink. Sláinte. And I also want to say welcome to one of our sponsors for this season. We're having season sponsors this season, which is pretty cool. And right now, I want to tell you about Northcutt. Northcutt is an SEO agency headquartered right here in Chicago. You might recognize the name. Corey Northcutt has been a guest on our show, and he is just wicked smart when it comes to SEO, and he's built up an agency of fellow SEO experts they're the bee's knees. I love this. This is directly from their website. We're more aggressive than most agencies. Not something you think about with SEO, but catch this. Our technical SEO system assesses over 1,200 opportunities based on thorough fact checking, and they definitely know their stuff. They work primarily with national and international SEO for e-commerce, for cloud services, for large enterprise organizations. So cheers, Northcutt. Thank you for supporting B3. And definitely when you need some SEO help, go check them out at northcutt.com. And there's two T's in Northcutt. All right, business out of the way. Let season 7 begin. Heather, I'm going to start with a very simple question, nice and basic. What do people get wrong about personal branding?
That is a great question. People tend to think that they don't have to worry about personal branding because they're not celebrities or they're not influencers or they're not all over the media. In reality, we all need to worry about personal branding. So that would be the first thing I would say people get wrong.
Why do you think everybody needs to have a personal brand? I think you're absolutely right. And this is something I've encountered too. Why does everybody need to think about it?
Personal brand allows you to be remembered by the people that you interact with. And that could be networking for work or personal. And if you're not memorable and you don't stand out and have something unique about you that they understand what your value is and what you bring to the table, then you won't be able to move forward for a business deal or working together, a collaboration.
Right. Makes it a lot harder, right?
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. What was the second thing?
So the second thing I would say that people get wrong about personal branding is thinking they don't have a personal brand. Whereas in reality, you are out there. Google yourself.
Right.
Seriously, Google yourself today. You are out there already. The key to having a good personal brand is understanding how to manage what is out there in terms of social media, in terms of what people think of you, who you work with, or who you work for. So being able to get a handle on what message you're sending and how that plays into your business and your work is really important.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, something I always say is your personal brand is what people say about you when you leave the room.
Yes, I've heard. Right. I've actually heard you say that. So yes,
am I right in thinking that? I mean, because that's what we always kind of had that personal brand. Is it just more prominent now because of digital media and social media and the fact that we can have a LinkedIn profile so easily and a Twitter presence, all those things? Do you think that's what's driving it right now?
I think what's driving it is there's been a massive shift over the last couple of decades in terms of what a brand is through marketing.
Okay.
20 years ago, you know, the marketing people and the advertising people and the companies that represented a brand would tell people what to say, what to think, why they should buy something.
Right.
Fast forward to today, the consumers are the ones who are telling us, like you said, what do people say when you're not in the room? What do people say when you're not on that social media platform about you? So that works the same as a personal brand. So the reason why a personal brand is so important now as opposed to many years ago is because we have all of those places for other people to talk about you on right. social media.
Gotcha. That makes sense. I mean, and one thing that has also come up for me, and this, I think you're right. There's like this evolution of branding as far as just something that big companies do as to more something that all of us do. And I almost think about the change in the employment contract.
Yes.
And tell me what you think about this. Cause what we used to think of just like, hey, we're going to go and work for a company. Like I always use the example of my father who worked for the post office for 30 years. Like working for the same company now, like nobody would think to do that. And if you know that you have to be in charge of your own career and have to have, you know, power over it, branding becomes a big part of that because you're always kind of branding yourself or sharing your message. Am I on the right course or am I just talking smack here?
No, definitely. There's actually two things I'm thinking about when the way you just phrased it. One is, yes, you need to have protect your career. And the only way to do that is to be proactive. So even if you're not looking for a job, you need to make sure that your LinkedIn profile is set up for whatever future job you're going to be looking for. And which is, you know, that's like a higher level way of thinking about how to use that platform. But if you don't take care of your personal brand and prepare it for that next job and think about it as a part of your career, you're missing out on a huge opportunity. Because you don't, like you said, employer loyalty is gone. Employee mm-hmm. loyalty is gone. It's changed mm-hmm. completely. We're living in a gig economy. Things are moving right. so rapidly. And you don't have the security of that. The second thing I would say about what you just said is that you need to have the personal brand even if you do stay within a company. Because every day you are selling yourself in terms of your ideas, the concepts, trying to get a project through.
Right.
So it's not just having the personal brand for career hunting, but it's also finding ways to use that within the job that you have now.
That makes a ton of sense. And I think something you said there is so important. And unfortunately, most people just don't get it. Personal branding, and I talk about this a lot in the context of even just networking and building relationships, isn't necessarily about solving a problem today. It's about preparing yourself to be better prepared to solve a problem in the future, whether that problem is keeping your job, getting to the next job, getting that promotion. And I always go back to the saying, you need to fix the roof when the sun is shining, mm-hmm. right? And so it's funny, like most people work on their resume when they've already lost their job. And you're like, you're behind the eight ball. They work on their LinkedIn profile when they've lost their job. They network when they're like, oh, I'm trying to get a promotion, so I'm going to go kiss my boss's butt, versus being proactive with it.
Yeah, it's definitely something that should be just part of your like healthcare. It's almost like healthcare. You know, you want to be proactive and take care of yourself. Work out, eat vegetables, drink a lot of water.
It's career wellness.
It's the same thing. It's career wellness. Yes, you need to do this proactively.
You know, if you were going to talk to somebody about kind of being proactive, what are the kind of areas, and I guess this is even kind of getting into, you know, what you talk about in the book, you know, what are some things that people can do which are proactive? I think one of the reasons a lot of people struggle with this is because they aren't being driven to some action, right? They're not being driven to, even though I know resume is not really what we're talking about as far as personal brand, we don't look at our resume until we're driven to do that, right? Because we need to find that new job. In the same way, a lot of people aren't doing this branding work because they're not being driven to it. So if someone was like, hey, I'm going to take an hour even and do something, like where do they start?
Self-awareness is really one of the four main parts of developing a personal brand. And taking the time to really think about who you are, what you want out of life, what you bring to the table, what skills you have, what experiences you bring to the table, thinking about all that you are bringing to this point in time right now and how that can possibly help you going forward, really taking that time. And this is, I think this is a great time. We're recording this during the pandemic. And this is a good time.
Hopefully we're coming out of it. We're still definitely in it. Yeah.
So taking the time when you have it, and even if you're a calendar person, you know, put that for, you do a great job talking about what do you do with that week over the holiday season, over the turning of the year, you know, what do you do? This is something that would be great for that week. Really take the time to figure out self-awareness wise, what you want from a career going forward. So I would start there.
I love that. I mean, in your referencing, the last 5-6 years, I've put together an article about the last week of the year. And it's really, I just go to all of my friends and my networking partners and people who are thought leaders in their space and say, what do you do with that last week between the holidays, which is kind of a black hole. And it's it continuously amazes me how many people come back. And again, these are some pretty big names sometimes that don't talk about, oh, I do this business plan or I'm looking at numbers. It's a lot of it. It's often I sit down and think about what I want to create, what, you know, even looking back the past year, what do I feel went well? What do I want to be? How do I want to like live my life? And it's not even business. I was like at that level because, and I think to your point, then the business answers become a lot easier, right?
Yes, you can make decisions a lot faster if you know what the most important things are for you personally. Get your priorities in order.
Yeah, and it might not be, you know, when you're listening to this, it might not be the end of the year. You might not have that luxury. But what's a good way of kind of going through this? I love this topic. I've talked about it before, but I do think a lot of times we just go, hey, self-awareness is important, and then we just stop. I mean, if somebody was like, Heather, I'm on board. I've got an hour, you know, I've got a half an hour after my kids are asleep and I still have a little bit of energy. Like what's like, do you have any, and I think you have some exercises and stuff in the book, but is there one that you like?
Yeah. So I'm going to walk you quickly through one right now. The book is the way the book is designed is these wonderful essays that just talk about a lot of concepts that we don't take the time to think about necessarily, followed by very useful exercises. So I would normally answer this question by saying a time mapping exercise. So everyone go get the book and do that. But for right now, I think a good one that will work is the last five roles you've had. So think about the last five jobs, positions, or even volunteer work that you've done and write them down.
Okay.
Think about who you worked with, what you liked about working with them, the position itself, what you liked about it, what you didn't like about it, what you would change differently. try to find links between each of the different positions. What was the same about them? What was different? And then when you look at them across time, how have you changed from that first role to this one? And what's remained the same?
Oh, I love that.
That would be an exercise, I think, that would really open a lot of people's eyes as to what in terms of a career or a work position they enjoy and they might want to seek out going forward.
And my guess is what they're really doing then is kind of looking to see what the patterns are.
Yes.
Like positive, like, oh, wow, I always like when I'm working with people. Or conversely, wow, I really dislike, you know, I hated this part of this job. And I hated the same thing in this job. And I hate, oh, wow, I really got to stay away from that. That's not a strength that I bring.
Yes, definitely.
Nice. I remember years and years ago, before I started Rockstar Consulting, I had a coach I was working with. And it was funny, I was looking for the next job, and she didn't say, okay, well, write out, you know, just the ideal job. She's like, write out what you want your life to look like. And then write out what do you want in your job, and then go and look for a job. And it was really instrumental, because I think a lot of times we kind of just reverse engineer ourselves into a job. Like we find an opportunity, we're like, oh, that's good enough. And I guess I do now like all the parts of this job because that's what I could find. But literally she made me go and she was like, how much, you know, this is when we were in offices much more. She's like, how much do you want to be in the office? How much do you not want to be in the office? You know, what do you want to wear? What, like all of this stuff. And it's really interesting. I found this maybe 3 or 4 years ago when I was cleaning out some files, and Rockstar Consulting and pursuing, you know, this more solopreneur entrepreneurial role, like just checked all the boxes. It was crazy. I was like, oh, okay. So I couldn't find what I wanted. So I just made it, but I had to know what I was looking for. Right.
Yeah.
And so, yes. so that was such a powerful process for me. So I love that idea. And something you said there, I think is important too. It's not just even your five last jobs, but your five last roles. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really key too, because I think a lot of times we do things that take up sometimes a really big part of our life that aren't technically a job, right? Like it, yes. You know, you mentioned nonprofit work or being on a board or just being a, you know, a volunteer, or maybe you're like really involved in your church, or your synagogue. And we have these other roles that can be really informative for us if we pay attention to them. Is that right?
Yes. What people don't realize is that when you do volunteer work or you do something that's maybe pro bono, you don't leave all of those skills and capabilities and all of that education and experience behind. You actually bring that with you to those roles. And so mm-hmm. by including them in your self-awareness, it will give you a more well-rounded picture. And sometimes it allows you to see with a little more clarity what works and what doesn't work.
No, that makes a lot of sense. And something else that I thought was really interesting about what you said is that it could change over time
yes.
too, right? Do you think people sometimes resist kind of trying to define their personal brand because they feel they are too fluid or changing, that like this will, it will kind of hem them in too much? Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. No, I'm thinking about my friend, Marty Constant, who does a lot of work with agility. And okay. What you just described there is also a trait. It's a personality trait. It's a skill, the ability to be flexible, to be agile. Mm. Is very important, especially now.
Right.
But another way to think about it is, one of my undergrad degrees is in biology, which I love as a science because it's dealing with living things. The great thing about living things is they are wonderfully unpredictable and they change. You can't predict necessarily what they're going to do.
As a mom of four kids. Yeah, you know that.
Kids, yes. So you can't predict what they're going to do. And that's the beautiful thing about people, is that we are wonderfully unpredictable, and we have the capacity to change and grow and evolve. And if we think of ourselves in just a static, this is who I am, I'm never mm-hmm. going to change, I'm always going to be this person, we're limiting our potential.
So it's almost like trying to find this balance between creating this self-awareness and this understanding. It's almost like a snapshot, like, okay, where are you right now? But then looking at your past and realizing that there's been evolution and change, and realizing that that evolution and change will probably happen in the future, and being okay with that. And so even though you have this snapshot, you go, well, this is where, who I am now. And this is a good understanding of it, but I'm not locked into it.
No. And the great part about that too, is when you think about your personal brand, is if you start realizing that what you're doing right now is not fulfilling those higher level goals, those needs, if it's not matching, then that gives you a jumping off point to see what you need to do to get there. So does that mean adding, some coursework? Does that mean networking with a specific industry, or to try to find people in a different career than what you're doing right now, so you can get to know whether that's a good fit? That kind of opens up the idea of when you're able to make a difference and to make changes.
When you think about it from that perspective, then also, so let's kind of dive into even some more of the tactics. And yes, go check out the book for a whole ton of great exercises. But once you have that self-awareness, what are some of the ways that you can start communicating that to other people, right? Because again, a big part of brand, you know, something I say a lot is you don't control your brand.
No.
You can only influence other people, right? Because you can't control how people view you, but you can influence it. So like, what are some of the first steps to take in moving from, okay, I understand myself, I understand where I'd like to be positioned in the future. Now I have to start communicating that to people.
Okay. So very simple ways to get started with this. One, practice your elevator pitch. Change, rehearse, write your elevator pitch. Figure okay. out what you're going to say when you meet someone new. And as a networking expert, you probably could teach 12 courses on this. So
I think I have.
You probably have. So I would start there, is perfecting your elevator pitch and knowing what you stand for, what you're capable of, what you do, but more importantly, always ending with a call to action.
Okay.
How can you help them, or how can they help you?
Right. Love that. And I mean, I would almost say, like, because I've always hated the term elevator pitch, because I've never given one in an elevator yet. I want to highlight this, because I think sometimes people hear that and go, well, that seems really corny and cheesy. But what you're really talking about is exactly what you just said there. It's like, how do I communicate, you know, what I'm trying to bring to the work I do, the people I serve, how we can work together? Because too often, we've probably all been at those networking events where they go around the room and introduce, everybody introduces themselves. And honestly, I often find that very painful, almost as painful as my son, who is crying from the other room right now, which you might be able to hear. But hey, you know, welcome to the 21st century. But what happens is, you know, people go around the room and you always run into that person who doesn't really know what they're trying to say. And often I think it's because they're not self-aware, but you get this 2.5 minute rambling, just verbal vomit. And you're at the end, you're like, what do they do?
And that prevents, yeah, it prevents you from helping each other.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no way you can really like reach out and they might be a great resource for you. You might be a great resource for them, but yeah, to your point, you don't know. You don't know. So yeah, just that idea. Well, you just said practice it, right? Like if you mm-hmm. need to just write it down and practice it.
Yes, definitely. And that should be something that's revisited at least once a year.
Because of that evolution, right?
Yes, definitely.
Well, hey, let me switch gears just a little bit. So we're talking about this book. So, you know, I actually got to kind of watch you through the process of writing the book and putting it out there. And after writing a few myself, I know like what a process it really is. I'm sure people are curious, like what, in your experience, what was the biggest positive surprise about writing the book? And what was the biggest negative surprise about writing the book?
The biggest positive surprise was how much I enjoyed the writing part of it. I really enjoyed the writing part. When you hear people talk about that moment of flow, when they're doing something and they're so lost in what they're doing that time doesn't exist. When I was writing most of the chapters of this book, I was completely in flow. It was a beautiful place to be. I did not expect that at all. I thought of this as work, and it's content creation. I'm a social media digital marketer. I create content all day and night. I thought it was going to feel more like work, and it didn't.
All right, cool.
The negative part, oh, let's see. the most negative part,
or at least the most negative surprise. Like, what was it like? Oh, wow. Okay, this negative actually surprise. Really sucks.
Formatting is really hard. Formatting is really hard.
Yeah. If anybody who is listening is curious, getting books ready for Kindle is brutal. It's brutal. You think it'd be so simple. It's not. Ooh. If you ever are reading like a Kindle book, and this can be a very like bestseller put out by a large publishing house. If you're ever reading one of those books on Kindle and you get to like a section that's just janky, that's because they gave up. They're like, this is as close as we can get it. I think it's good enough. They just moved on.
That's so funny. Yes. Yes, definitely.
And that's just the Kindle. We're not even talking about the print versions yet either, which can be just as brutal. Well, hey, congratulations again and welcome to the Author Club.
Thank you.
And cheers to that, which also lets me make a very smooth segue into, let's talk about some beers. So I know you're drinking the Two Brothers. You're a Two Brothers fan. Is that correct?
I am a Two Brothers fan. We used to, before the pandemic, have a very nice soiree every year. And I think for the last 8 years, we've served Two Brothers Domaine de Page, which is a French country ale.
Domaine de Page.
It is nice and fancy about it. Very lovely, lovely beer. Total crowd pleaser.
Especially when you have a keg of it, of course.
When you have a keg, oh, very much. And it's very drinkable and it's fruity, but not in an overly fruity way. It more rounds it out. So you get this really rich, dark, delicious beer that pairs. I tend to always think of alcoholic beverages as what they pair with in terms of food.
Okay.
So this pairs very well with like those delicious winter foods. I make a really good homemade meatball and nine hour sauce. Okay. So I pair it with some good Italian food. It's quite yummy.
Nice. I'm coming over for dinner. or I'm just going to have some homemade meatballs. Maybe I can get my wife to make some, and then I'll just be like, well, now I have to drink Domaine de Page, you know, because it pairs well. I'm being fancy.
Well, yes.
Nice. So besides Two Brothers, any other breweries you like, or any other styles that are kind of like close to the heart?
I love Hefeweizens. I think they're wonderfully drinkable. I think
kind
that
of
is
the opposite of Domaine de Page, because Hefeweizen for me is very much like the summer beer.
Yes. Yes. Right?
All right. Any favorites?
Gosh, probably Allagash White would be my favorite.
You can't go wrong.
But I also love Guinness. So, you know, it's
that just means you have good taste, right?
Thank you.
Oh man, one of these days when we're past the pandemic and things get, whether I don't know whether normal's right adjective. Once we get to the place where we can travel again, I'm so looking forward to getting back over to Ireland and having a pint or 10 of Guinness. It'll be a beautiful, beautiful thing.
My goodness, my Guinness, right?
Right, for sure. So you've got like your winter beer, you've got your summer beer. Any other ones that stand out that you're a fan of?
Try to think a couple. Is it Lakefront Brewery in Milwaukee?
Oh yeah,
they have great beers. I remember going to get a brewery tour there, probably maybe a year after they opened. So I'm aging myself right now. But it was great because we showed up at the end of the day and the owner was there and he was not closing up, but you know, you're closing up, you know, when you know, you've got an hour or two left, you're closing up. And there was my husband and I and these two other random people. And it was so much fun and low key because he's like, yeah, let's just drink beer and walk around and I'll point at things and tell you stories. And it was so much fun. We had a great time. And they have this in the manufacturing area, they have this massive United States map. And at the time they would color in the states that they were allowed to ship to sell. And there was like three states. Okay. So I think a couple years ago we went back because
why not? Good vision there though. They're like, we're going to fill all of this. We're going to fill all of this in. We got these three. 47 left to go. I love that.
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, we go back, which is a few years after, and they've got like tour guides with matching polo shirts, and it, the place is hopping and it's packed. And I got to tell you, that map was much more filled in. So I love That's seeing fantastic. Success stories like that, to be like, okay, you started out this small business. Hey, let's create a brewery. And then to be able to see it grow like that, it's huge.
Well, it's been really fun. You know, I spent a lot of time in Milwaukee, grew up there. My family's still there. And in some ways, if you think about it, it was really challenging for the craft beer scene to get its start there. Because, you know, of course, craft beer is the David to the macro brew Goliaths that are all in Milwaukee. You know, like I went to high school a block away from the Miller Brewery. And so it's been really cool to see that. Even in the shadows of these big breweries, Lakefront's a great one. Milwaukee Brewing Company is kind of one of the grandfathers of that craft beer scene. You were just, as you were telling that story, I'm thinking of the last time I went to a beer tour at Milwaukee Brewing Company. It was kind of the same thing. It was the last one of the day. It was really funny because they had a tour guide and stuff. And it turns out that the tour guide's looking at me the whole time. And at the end, he goes, "Did you play comedy sports in high school?" And I was like, "What?" Yeah. He's like, "Did you have like a lot more hair?" Because I had I didn't cut my hair for 2 years. It was this big, crazy kind of Afro-ish thing. I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Yeah, we played against you all the time." And I was like, "Oh, that's fantastic." And of course, we had a fantastic conversation because their tour very similarly was like, "Well, you know, between stops, we're just make sure that if anybody needs anything, you know, the bar is right over there." and we all had a very fun time and nobody drove home. So we were nice and safe.
No, definitely not.
But yeah, there's so many great breweries just popping up there. And, you know, I know the pandemic's been hard on all of them, but hopefully we'll see that their local communities, their local alcoholics will have kept them in business and taken them through this tough time. Hey, we could talk about music, but I feel that'd be another 20-minute conversation. I knew this would be a problem when we started this conversation that we're going to just keep talking. So I think this is a great place to stop. You know, Heather, I always ask my guests at the end of our conversation, what's one piece of advice that you'd give somebody to help them have a better day today?
I would tell them to give themselves a break. And I know someone on your previous, one of your previous said the same thing, but honestly, self-compassion and in turn, give everybody else a break. This is not what any of us planned or expected. So take a beat, seriously. Beer beats in business. Take a beat and let things ride.
There you go. We were able to still incorporate the music piece. And I love that. And I think that's a wonderful thing for us to know. As I said, we are recording this during the pandemic. But, you know, even as we gotta get out of this, just the idea of compassion for ourselves and others. What a great idea for all time. And Heather, if somebody wanted to continue the conversation, what's the best way for somebody to follow up with you?
I spend a lot of time on Twitter. So if you wanted to reach me, my handle is creativebrandch. So creative brand coach, but shortened.
Or Chicago, you know.
Or Chicago. Hey, love Chicago. So that or LinkedIn.
Awesome. And we'll make sure to put all the links in the show notes, as well as a link to Amazon to get your book and the title, if you just want to go search for it, Fun and Fulfilling Careers, One Question at a Time, with a foreword by David J.P. Fisher, yours truly. This has been fantastic. I've enjoyed our conversation. I've enjoyed my beer. So once again, thank you to 1090 right out of here, of the area here in Glenview, Illinois. I don't think they have national distribution yet. So as I always say, if you can't find one of our sponsors in your local, beer aisle, just support your local people. As we just mentioned, it's been tough on everybody, but these are people that are putting their heart and soul into making great beer or great wine or great liquor or great coffee, whatever it is. Support your local providers of great beverages and food and all that other good stuff. And also thank you to our sponsor this season, Northcutt SEO. It's Northcutt with 2 T's. They are doing amazing SEO for e-commerce, cloud service, and enterprise level organizations. Check them out, northcutt.com. Thank you for their support as well. And everybody, we're just getting started. This is season 7. I hope you're ready to join us for a lot of great conversations. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you rate and put a ranking on your podcast app of choice. And the biggest thing you could do for us for this season, tell a friend. That's how we find out about podcasts. Tell a friend that you're enjoying our conversations and that they might as well. I appreciate it. I appreciate you. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for stopping by. You can find show notes and links in this episode at beerbeatsandbusiness.com. We all know the best way to find out about a new podcast is through our friends. So please help us out and share what we're doing through social media, or just tell someone. And if you could do us a favor and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform, like iTunes or Stitcher, that would be great. Want to get in on the conversation? Send DeepFish a message on Twitter at DeepFishRockstar. And we'll save a spot for you at the bar for the next Beer, Beats, and Business.